Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refuses to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This is indeed the broadcast for September the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we do use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founders are absolutely brilliant. And ladies and gentlemen, we reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing fantastic. We talked about the national debt exceeds $20 trillion. It's out of control. We hope that would change under the Donald. No dice. Bipartisan efforts to raise salary caps on the Secret Service are underway. The Donald, I guess they claim, has too big of a family. No, I think the problem is we cover too many former presidents is the real big problem. The federal government is spending $138,000 to ask preschoolers about their, quote, gender identity. We're off our rocker. Just let Sam and Kirk go through the budget and see if we can't reduce costs, huh? Democrats have been pushing to stop Republican efforts to get answers on the Donald Trump fake dossier. Republicans want to find out how Democrats come up with that thing. The Democrats are trying to stop it because they know it's disaster for their agenda. Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that ball. Hillary blames the media for her loss. Well, strange enough, in a backhanded way, she admits the truth. The media makes the rules, folks. It's true. The media is guilty for her loss. The media is guilty for the Donald Trump win. All right, Orrin Hatch might not serve another term in the U.S. Senate. He might retire. We hope he does, but now they're saying that Romney is planning to eye the Utah Senate seat, currently occupied by Orrin Hatch. Wow, do you want Romney? I guess Laura Ingraham gets 10 p.m. slot at Fox News. They say they'll move Sean Hannity to 9 p.m. They're rearranging the lineup in hopes to gain some foothold, if you will. Southern Poverty Law Center seeks Fox News apology. The Southern Poverty Law Center is off their rocker. They should never get an apology. Hopefully Fox will not cave. Miami-Dade, Broward counties in government schools. Looks like they're closed indefinitely after Irma. That's the only blessing to come out of Irma. Government schools are closed. Apple's trillion-dollar iPhone came out yesterday. We'll talk about that. Why do they call it the trillion-dollar iPhone? Number one, it's really expensive. And number two, they say, we're talking about big money for the largest company in the world. That's Apple. That was hour one. Hour two, our guest, Alan Phillips, VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com, joined us. We talked about the happiest state in the union is. They claim it's Minnesota. But we reject their whole narrative of what makes folks happy. How about the Second Amendment, for starters? I guess Kevin Shunan, he's the owner of a Dairy Queen in Wisconsin. He's happy to be politically incorrect, and he's famous for it. I guess this guy was playing Christmas music in his stores and giving veterans free ice cream on Veterans Day and just doing a phenomenal job, and some lady went ballistic, and now the guy's famous. Wow. They call it huge, increasing vaccine payouts, their injury payouts, by the taxpayers for 2017, and if vaccines are safe and effective, why the gargantuan and increasing payouts, you might ask? Well, because they've lied to you, that's why. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. Today's news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. And our very own Larry Pratt, gunowners.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Hi, Sam. Good to be with you all.
All right. Let's start out and talk about Judge Roy Moore. You guys have good news in that camp, don't you?
Well, if you hadn't brought him up first, I was hoping to.
Love it.
It looks as if, and we still have some days yet before the primary at the end of this month, but it looks as if he's on track to winning the U.S. Senate primary in Alabama, and if you are the Republican nominee for the last 25 years, that was the same thing as saying you're going to be elected at the general election. That's a slam dunk, and start packing your bags, measuring the drapes. So we're hoping that it's going to work that way. So far, it does look that way. And one of the things to take away from his lead that he's got, which, by the way, is quite significant because it's been steadily over 50% against an incumbent. And whenever an incumbent, he's hardly one, he wasn't in that long. Senator Strange was appointed by a governor that Attorney General Strange was fixing to investigate, and the governor short-circuited that by appointing him to the Sessions vacancy in the United States Senate. So there's always been a little cloud over that whole transaction. And meanwhile, you've got Mr. Backbone, Mr. Integrity, former judge, well, they still call him judge, Roy Moore, somebody that has stood for his principles unflinchingly, rather unlike most of the politicians, say most of those that said they were going to vote against Obamacare and then broke their word after years of repeatedly saying they would overturn Obamacare. Roy Moore ain't like that. He doesn't really play well with other children, and they're having a fit because they know if he does get to the United States Senate, it's not likely to be business as usual. He's likely to call them out. He's a Baptist Sunday school teacher, and when he sees bad stuff going on, he doesn't take it kindly. So Roy Moore is somebody that certainly has us excited because his commitment to the Second Amendment is second to none. And it wasn't too long ago that he had an opportunity to give an object lesson into just how much his family was a Second Amendment family. He was asked a question about concealed carry, and he said, "Well, we carry." And he turned to his wife, and she opened her purse, and he pulled out her handgun. So
boy, howdy. Welcome, Judge. Hello, Your Honor. See, people get real polite. Hello, Your Honor. Now, the good news is that Gunners of America, or GOA, is calling on Alabama voters, and so, by the way, are Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby with Liberty Roundtable Live, calling on all voters in Alabama to support Judge Roy Moore for the Senate. More good, honest Christians and Americans are backing Roy Moore. We all learned about Roy when he decided to stand up for the Ten Commandments. He lost everything but stood strong as a rock. And then we heard about him again when he got reelected and then stood up for traditional one-man, one-woman marriages. And the battle rages on. Judge Roy Moore has long been an articulate and uncompromising champion for gun rights, and he'll fight just as hard for those gun rights in the Senate, where there are currently bills that we're hoping Roy Moore will help pass, right?
That is absolutely the case, and he's already said that he supports one of the major pieces of legislation that's there in the House and in the Senate, the national carry measure. Obviously, he carries, and he's got a personal interest in seeing this constitutionally sound measure go into law. So I think it's going to be interesting because in both houses, these major pieces of legislation have been sitting around since the day Congress opened in January, and the leadership just flat out has no interest in moving these bills.
They need to remove the leadership. Now, I don't know what happened to the Donald. Donald took a strange turn on when it comes to Roy Moore now. Isn't that kind of strange?
Well, I think he put his foot in it. The president has advisors who are not all of one mind, Some are liberal, some are conservative. The conservatives have been kind of reduced in force. Steve Bannon being cut out was emblematic because others that were allied with him have either been shunted aside or actually removed.
Donald could always replace Bannon with Bushman, though.
Well, I think that would be probably an exciting change indeed. But we'll see.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Pratt with us, gunowners.org. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. They're literally endorsing Judge Roy Moore for the Alabama Senate, and so are we on Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Larry Pratt of gunowners.org, Gun Owners of America, riding shotgun. We're talking about how strange it is for Donald Trump to be backing Luther Strange instead of Roy Moore in the Alabama Senate race. And I think Larry hit the nail on the head when he said, hey, you know what? Trump's got some liberal and advisors from all over the place. Really, this is a classic case of Donald isn't draining the swamp fast enough, and some bad guys got a hold of the Donald and tricked him into pushing for Strange, and now it would look too bad for Donald to back out, so he's kind of holding with it. Just bad advice and bad direction is all I can say. But if we get Roy Moore in the Senate, the key is there's several good guys that have put bills in place that would really stand up for the Second Amendment. It's been languishing because of the leadership that has sold us out. If we could replace the leadership and get good guys like Roy Moore in the Senate, we might see a sea change. Larry?
We could see, certainly, we could hope that Roy Moore would re-energize those that have been in the Senate, who are really good guys, Senator Lee and Cruz and so forth. And I think they've been tired out. You know, they fought and they don't get any visible results because they're kind of outnumbered. And so you get a guy like Judge Moore coming in, that could perhaps, hopefully, provide a spark that gets things moving again, gets some political fires burning so that it's not just going to continue business as usual.
Now, sometimes they say, you know, Donald Trump is smart as a fox. It may be that he doesn't really want to back Roy Moore for the Senate because he wants to put him on the Supreme Court there. Now, that's just a long shot hope,
certainly
but
make an excellent Supreme Court justice. But I think it's pretty clear that the president was backing off of his sole endorsement of Strange, and he came up with a kind of Solomonic approach of endorsing both. There's two primaries right now, and we're into the second one. And so for the second one, the president has endorsed both Strange and Moore. So he's got his bets covered now on both positions.
Well, the good news is, for the most part, he's gone silent. And he's letting leaders like you and me and others carry the ball, which is what needs to happen anyway. And so we're praying and hoping for Judge Roy Moore in the Senate.
Absolutely. This is a guy that really... he's on a mission, and he has shown in the past, and you've pointed to it, that when everybody and everything was against him, he was willing to be tossed out of office by some cruddy little bureaucratic judicial commission after the people had elected him statewide to his position. How's that for
the... And then the people overturned that years later by electing him again, sir.
Exactly. He's been elected twice, once as a county judge.
Now they say the third time's the charm, huh, Larry?
Supreme Court. The people of Alabama obviously like what this guy stands for, and that he really does stand for it. That's the thing that kind of stands out, that we're talking about a politician who is very different from all but a handful of others. So it's encouraging that the people of Alabama don't seem to be too easily confused. And the fact that the Republican primary, which could have Democrats voting in it as well, is showing more with an over 50% of the support of those polled, that could very well mean good news for us.
We're hoping the third time's the charm, huh?
Well, indeed. And I think we're on track. And so if nothing that we're not expecting is to happen between now and the election at the end of the month, the last Tuesday, I think it's the last Tuesday, I believe it's the 26th, then Roy Moore has to change his first name from judge to senator.
Well, our prayers are going that way. Now, Donald's been taking a beating himself. I know he's trying to go left and center and everything else to try to get some traction for his agenda. It's hard to blame him for those tactics, doing his best to get something done. Even though they've kind of shanghaied him, he's having a tough time getting a lot of his agenda accomplished. But this is interesting. 91% negative coverage for Trump over the summer, writes Amber Athey. They say, according to the prestigious Media Center, or Media Research Center, MRC, the news coverage of Donald Trump by the major networks has been entirely negative. All the big boys, completely 91% negative. They say that's even worse than the 89% negative coverage of the first 3 months of his presidency. We're talking about ABC, NBC, and CBS.
That nothing is perfect. They'd like to be 100% negative, and they just haven't quite figured it out. So they're working on it. They've gone from 89 to 91.
Now, they've also not reported the dramatic rise in popularity that Donald Trump's experienced in the polls recently. They've ignored that as well.
I think that's something we need to take a deep breath about when we're talking polls. Remember, they were rather dramatically off when it came to him getting elected, and I think they've been off on a number of other races. We don't need to go into all of those, but the fact of the matter is polling is not a science. Polling starts out by saying, I wonder who's going to vote in this election coming up. Maybe it'll be X percent Democrat and X percent Republican and so many independents. But those are all assumptions. That's not a scientifically verifiable proposition. And anything could happen that might change those assumptions, which might have been somewhat accurate. Things can change. People can change their mind. People can become depressed. People can get excited. And it's not going to be the way
people can learn more of the truth. Right? People can learn more of the truth, too, and I think that drives a lot of it. People are realizing Donald's trying to keep a lot of his promises. He really is.
He has, I think, done a pretty good job, and where executive orders were appropriate, he un-executive ordered, if I can coin a term, those things that Obama had done unconstitutionally. And Trump went to work on those pretty lickety-split. So I don't have too many complaints in that department, and I think he's certainly been faithful in one of the major campaign positions, and one of the major reasons many people voted for Donald Trump was their concern about the Supreme Court, and he hit a home run when he nominated Neil Gorsuch. And it's quite possible that there'll be another two vacancies. There's a very elderly Justice Ginsburg who may or may not plan to retire. Don't think she plans to, but God may have other plans. She's looking frail. She's you could refer to her as sleepy. She sleeps during oral arguments. How'd you like to be an attorney? You've been worried all night, bomb going before the Supreme Court. You've got a case of the nerve, man. You haven't been able to eat breakfast. You get out there, and you're making your best arguments against that opponent on the other side of the issue, and there she is.
See, they're there for life, but what people don't understand is it's supposed to be on good behavior. Now, sleeping on the bench when we're talking about critical cases to decide the fate of the nation is certainly not good behavior, sir.
Well, I guess technically she's alive, so.
Wow, there you go. For life. All right. Now, 91% negative coverage. It's amazing. Donald even responded to it himself. He had to go to Twitter to get the word out of what he thinks. Here's what he said. Fascinating to watch people writing books about me and major articles about me, yet they know nothing about me, and they have zero access numbers. Fake news. President Trump tweeted on Tuesday. They say, who's he attacking? Well, it's probably Hillary. She's getting all kinds of favorable coverage about her loss. Now, how you give her favorable coverage about a bad attitude for her losing is hard to say, but they've done it.
They are so sympathetic to her that she can do no wrong. But I don't think the American people are buying that. Most Americans, I think, if anything, her negatives could have increased since the election because she has been such an ungracious person before, during, and after the election. And I think maybe there are a lot of Democrats that are wishing, Hillary, would you please shut up and go away? Stop taking the air out of the room for us Democrats.
Well, the only reason she's doing it is because the media allows her to. This is kind of the agenda that they have. They pretend or they use the media to attack Trump, put Hillary in a favorable light. And what they're really doing is keeping this drumbeat going because they're hoping for a misstep, and then they'll be all over the impeachment agenda. Yeah. They're keeping the drumbeat negative so that over time it'll take its toll, and when the opportunity is right, they'll jump through the hoop. Larry Pratt can respond to that in a second. Hold on. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The United Nations Security Council vote was unanimous to impose new sanctions on North Korea, but not nearly as strong as the Trump administration and Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., would have liked. Unfortunately, some concessions had to be made to keep the Russians and Chinese on board. For example, a cap has been put on the amount of oil imports by the North Koreans, falling short of the total embargo that the U.S. wanted. Police in cities across Florida have been letting looters know that they have them in their sights, and any who are caught can expect to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Miami police posted a picture on Facebook of looting suspects arrested with the caption, "Thinking about looting? See how these guys ended up." The Miami police have arrested numerous looters, and so have police in Fort Lauderdale. Stern warnings are coming from other police departments. Meanwhile, tragically, the latest numbers say 25% of all of the homes in the Florida Keys may be lost. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, worldaffairsbrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, for years, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN was the premier sports network, but then Disney bought them, and their liberal views have mirrored the reality ever since, and they're losing viewership big time. They're probably going to be in financial trouble soon. But ESPN host now calls Donald Trump and all of his supporters white supremacists. Larry? What do you say to that?
Sam,
I mean, they're off their rockers, my friend. They're crazy.
They don't have much of an argument, and they prove it when their default argument, which they arrive at almost immediately in any discussion, is something like that, the race card. And I don't know that I still have it in my wallet, but for some time I had a card that looked like a credit card, and it said, "I'm sorry, but you're race card is no longer accepted here. It has expired." And that's really what we're talking about. That they just don't know what to say because they've been outmaneuvered. They've been rejected by the voters. And they haven't really developed a coherent philosophy about what they want other than they know that he's bad. And so that's what we're hearing is all these really laughable charges about him being a racist and a white supremacist and so forth. When they end up calling Steve Bannon anti-Semitic, and this is a guy that had umpteen Jews working for him at Breitbart, his first time at Breitbart, I don't know what the current lineup might be, but that it just shows that the facts are not important. They're trying to use a tar brush in the hopes that somehow, ideally, and from their point of view, an opponent will be intimidated, doesn't want to anymore engage in argument with them because they're so afraid of being labeled, however incorrectly it is, by these people. And that doesn't work. People have concluded that, you know what, you guys aren't even worth a response. You're laughable. And if that's the best you can do, excuse me, move out of the way while I continue trying to fix the country.
Now, ESPN literally has lost millions of subscribers. They're in financial trouble. And I guess this guy, his name is Jamel Hill. That's the host that literally is attacking everybody via a Twitter storm, saying that we're all racist and white supremacists. The problem is their desperation is becoming more and more and more evident.
I think that's right. You can almost see them sweating, their eyes bugging, and they're beginning to lecture the average guy for not immediately saying, "Oh yes, sir, you've got it right. How wise you are." One of the latest crack ups has been ESPN, the sport network, and they've decided to double down as a politically correct left wing group, and their ratings are going into the toilet. They may manage to kill America's national sport. People are just turning off football in droves.
It is beyond imagine, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what happened is they got in a big old battle because they started spiraling down into political news when they were talking about raising money for Harvey and Irma and other things. And it turns out the liberals want global warming skeptics jailed is what they're really talking about, Larry.
There have been some that have been talking like that. I think even Robert Kennedy Jr., former congressman, had made such a suggestion. They're not able to discuss the issue, and this is just another manifestation of what we've just been talking about. It's the equivalent of calling a political opponent a racist. If you don't agree with global warming, if you have stumbled across the report that for the last 18 years, however many, temperatures have been constant or slightly declining, that immediately makes you a denier, and we can't have denying. You know that science, absolutely, you must agree with everything in science because that's the way it is. Once there's a consensus, there is no disagreement. That shows a profound ignorance about the nature of science and the fact that you're always testing, always trying to falsify in order to prove whether or not the hypothesis is correct. And if you're unsuccessful in showing that it's falsifiable, good. Well, then you've got a valid, at least for the time, a valid assumption and go with that. But that's the way science is supposed to work, and these folks are not really scientists. They're politicians. They're getting money from foundations, from the government, and they're not about ready to admit that there is room, lots of room, for disagreement.
All right, it gets worse. Not only are they trying to jail global warming skeptics, I guess they're going to put me in jail. I'm more than a skeptic. I say they're peddling propaganda, fake news, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I don't know if that would get my head cut off or what would happen, but that might be worse than jail for my bold,
candid, factual reality
statements there.
Yeah.
Now, the House kind of went out of control. House votes to denounce white supremacist groups. They say the House overwhelmingly, in a bipartisan move, passed a resolution condemning white supremacists, hate groups, and neo-Nazis 1 month after the violent attacks that broke out during the Charlottesville rally, etc. Now, it gets worse because I guess the Senate backed it and voted for it as well, and now it's on Donald's desk, Larry.
Well, I don't know that these people even understand what a fascist is. And the very group that calls itself anti-fascist is behaving exactly the way Hitler's brown shirts behaved. And they seem to have the same idea of the relationship of government to the people. We in the government make a decision, you do what we say, or else. And the or else is something that we see in the Antifa demonstrations. They're willing to go destroy stores and homes and beat people up. This is right out of the brown shirts of Germany, the followers of El Duce in Italy. This is an amazing return to a totalitarian period in 20th century history. And it's almost as if George Orwell called this. that in 1984, he had this dystopic novel depicting a future in 1984, because he wrote it at the end of World War II, where freedom would be called slavery and war would be called peace. So words, very important words, would be inverted, put on their head, upside down in their meaning. And for the group to call itself anti-fascist when it is exactly a spitting image of Adolf's goons, it's an example that George Orwell knew exactly what he was describing at the time, and unhappily, you still see it today.
Now, there's several issues here. First off, Donald denounced all violence, all racism. In the very beginning, he said, look, there's trouble on all sides. There's agitators and problems. He got attacked for that, so he kind of caved and said, okay, well, white supremacists are bad. Well, we agree that racism and supremacy is bad, but the problem is they all know that we're not white supremacists. They all know that we agree it's bad. They just use this as a lightning rod to checkmate Donald. He fell for it, sadly, not because we're not against white supremacy, but because everybody knows it's a failed argument and that most of us aren't that way. The problem is they attacked Donald. He caved. Now this joint resolution already passed the House, and now it was spearheaded by two Republican and two Democratic senators. It passed the Senate, and now the joint resolution is heading to the president's desk waiting for a signature. Do you think Donald will fall for this satanic lie?
Well, he quite possibly will. I don't know that he really sees the play going on. Keep in mind, Donald Trump is not a conservative, never has been. He's a businessman, and he had to deal with an establishment that was corrupt, and that's what got his goat. That's what impelled him, as far as I can see, into the political arena. And he was looking at liberals and Republicans who were not really conservatives, but nevertheless, he was looking at people that were supposedly across the spectrum, and they were all corrupt, and they were all making their deals with government, which, by the way, is fascism. That's exactly how it operates. And he decided he was going to try to clean the stable. Well, that's all well and good, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's conservative.
He's underestimating the swamp is the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, and it's true. He's no conservative. He's been a Washington insider hold on.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. You know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, what I'm saying is Donald Trump has been a New York insider forever. Hillary Clinton is a good friend of the Donalds. I know you don't believe that from the media coverage, but it's true. They've been friends, Donald and Hillary and Bill, forever. He's friends with a lot of the insiders. He's made his living working with these insiders in New York for decades, folks. Don't believe anything different. Nevertheless, we'll always vote and focus on principle. When Donald does something wrong, we'll stand on principle. When he does something right, we'll give him credit every time, just like we will anybody else. It's not about people. It's about principles, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll give you an example to make the point. Trump has always backed amnesty, White House says. Daily Caller just reported it. The White House has always backed amnesty. In other words, Donald's an amnesty guy. Now, he pretends he's not, but he literally is setting the stage to stand hard on immigration because he knew that's what the people wanted to get elected. But really, he's doing everything that he can to kind of backdoor this discussion because he's really an amnesty guy. Larry?
Well, if he wasn't amnesty all along, if opposition to amnesty was part and parcel of his tough border position, just for argument, I would suggest that if he has changed, it's very likely because his daughter and her husband, who were quite liberal, and are there in the White House daily as advisors, officially, not even in a quote-unquote kitchen cabinet. He's an unpaid advisor to the president. That's a force to be considered, that he has chosen to have as his closest advisors people on the left. And while Steve Bannon was able to carry on for eight months or so, he's now out. And that's, I think, telling us that the Trump White House had perhaps a kind of a mixed multitude within it, and that mixture is getting a lot thinner. It's becoming mostly a left concoction, not a right.
There you have it. Anyway, I find that fascinating. Now, the interesting thing is they say the Senate passed this joint resolution for the House and the Senate. They all passed it. They say it unanimously passed the Senate on Monday. Does that mean that Rand Paul, what does unanimously mean? Does that mean that Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and those guys voted for it too?
Well, it could mean that, but it probably means that they had a voice vote that was not recorded without all of the members being present. So you don't know who actually voted. And
it's the way they kind of manipulate this, making you believe it's unanimous, and it may not even be the truth is the point.
Exactly right, but it's a way of kind of building some pressure on people that might want to end up doing a filibuster to stop it. Well, this is passed unanimously. What are you trying to do? And that's the game that gets played.
However, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and several other senators who are conservative and would not believe in voting for this, literally should stand up in unison before the media and force the discussion that it was not unanimous and explain exactly what you just did to get people on the beam for the truth. Donald should also be tweeting fake news, unanimous lies. Because here's the deal. I'm not for white supremacy or racism, Larry. I'm against it. Okay, I'll be clear. I don't believe anybody should be superior or lord over anybody else. Okay, I believe we're all God's children and we all ought to work together for the betterment of the freest country on the planet. Okay? However, this idea to call out white supremacists and leave this Antifa group alone and literally double down on conservative folks, paint them into a corner, have the House and the Senate unanimously do so without a peep from Rand Paul or Mike Lee or any others is just wrong. It's just evil and it's dishonest and it's not the truth at all. Now, I agree. There are white supremacists that are extreme and belligerent. There's,
and
you know, and there's Antifa on the other side, just like Donald first said, that are belligerent. But the truth is, that's not what we're talking about, and they all know it.
Well, the issue has been clouded substantially by a very fraudulent, non-existent division that they've invented that says that fascists are of the right and the Antifa, Black Lives Matter are of the left. The fact of the matter is fascists are of the left. They are definitely opposed to individual liberty and limited government. They're just simply having a scrimmage with their colleagues on the left, the fascists are. And when we end up having a discussion where we don't make that point, then they've got us in their little trick bag where we've adopted their terms with their assumptions, and we can't win the argument because of that. What we need to be saying, I think, is a pox on both of your houses. You can say whatever you want. This is America, but don't tell us you're of the right. You are of the left. You're a totalitarian. You'd be a monster if you could.
We stand against violence in every way, ladies and gentlemen. We stand for the proper role of limited government with all of its checks and balances and all the appropriate accountability that the proper role of government affords good, honest Americans. We support a speedy trial, due process for everyone. That's just the way it works in America. I don't care who they are. However, we got to be humble enough and bold enough, I know that sounds conflicting, but it's not really, to call a spade on this one. Now, Kurt, who's the guy that was in the Senate forever who was a KKK Klansman? What was that guy's
Bobby
name?
Bobby Byrd.
Yeah, Bobby Byrd. Okay. How come Bobby Byrd was in favor? They never talked about it, but yet David Duke is the lightning rod. What's up with that?
Hillary Clinton referred to Senator Byrd as the conscience of the Senate, a man who at that very moment was the head of the Klan in West Virginia. The Democrat Party produced the Klan. The Ku Klux Klan was the action arm of the Democrat Party, the party that had been formed by slave owners who were trying to hang on after slavery was abolished. They came up with Jim Crow. That was Democrat. Democrats now are trying to use government to continue to enslave us. The only change is they're not just going after blacks. They're going after the whole population.
Everybody.
But control and tyranny is
right.
the name of the Democrats.
Do you know David Duke at all?
I don't know David Duke, but it sounds to me as if he's a guy that doesn't have too many brain cells to rub together.
Well, they say that he's an extreme white supremacist.
Him as possible.
They say he's an extremist white supremacist. However, he was a state official for a long time in Louisiana. Now, I'm not here to defend him or not defend him because I don't even personally know the man. However, here's what I am going to say. I support his right to say and think and believe what he wants, just like anybody else. And why they attack Duke but defend Byrd is beyond reason.
Well, I guess they decided that he would be a convenient foil, maybe because he's not that bright and he can't handle just the bag they've put him in. They kind of like that. They don't want to have a competent opponent who could debate circles around them. So that's how maybe we end up with David Duke. I don't know. But he's a sad sack, and I don't think we should be spending too much.
And I'm not here to defend him. What I'm trying to do is highlight the contrast, though, is look, we ought to be able to defend everybody's rights, even if we disagree with what they say and believe. But how we can favor Byrd and attack Duke just points out the obvious, right?
Right. Well, hypocrisy, of course, all of us suffer from falling into that problem, but hypocrisy certainly is one of the hallmarks of the modern day Democrat. They like us to believe that they have nothing to do with the Ku Klux Klan, and yet they're still about as racist as they come. Get them to start talking about Jews, why don't you? Oh boy! Then you'll hear it come out of their mouth big time.
Well, my response is Jewish people have the right to believe and say and think what they want to, too, and I'll defend their right, too, my friend.
Well, that's because you and I are of the right, and that's one of the fundamental beliefs that we all should have on the right. That is not what they believe. They clearly are of the opinion, as was Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler.
Now, Hillary blamed her loss on white people. Did you hear that?
I'll kill you if you don't believe.
Yeah, Hillary blamed her loss on white people. She said, you know what? White people happened.
Well, I guess she must be very critical every morning that she looks in the mirror, because last I checked, she looks pretty white.
I don't understand why this has to be a white-black discussion. Why do they always have to put this divide in front of us? Why can't we work together as Americans and stand on principle, sir?
Sam, they don't have anything else to go on. If they can't divide the American people on some phony principle like the color of skin, they don't have anything. They don't have arguments. If they campaigned on the fact that, I believe the government should be controlling everything that you think, do, and say, your children, your money, everything in your job, your home, that's what I believe because my party knows best for you, and you're too stupid. And I don't know that they would be quite successful with that approach. And so their approach has become to attack the other guy so that they don't have to explain that that's exactly what they do believe.
Well, they don't want to have me on the TV talking about race because I'll just start out the conversation and say, please tell me, since I don't know what race you are, so I can just rip my bias out right from the start, you know? Just highlighting the fact these people are absolutely deceived and foolish. We've got to reject all these divide lines, male, female, black, white, Republican, Democrat. We've got to stand together on the sacred principles that made America great, Larry. That's what we've got to do.
That's what will keep us free. And that, I think, means we all have a self-interest in propounding what you just set forth. And hopefully, just to circle back to what we talked about initially, if indeed Judge Moore becomes the next senator from Alabama, he's going to cause some great concern among the left because they're doing everything they can to stop him. They understand that he gets it. He understands precisely what we've been talking about now. This
well, I think some black guys came up with the song Celebrate Good Times, and I'm saying that's what we all should do when Roy Moore wins.
Yes, sir. I think we should. And hopefully we get to tune in on that song very soon.
Amen to that. Thank you, my friend. Godspeed.
Thank you, Sam.
Larry Pratt, gunowners.org. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. Gunowners.org, hour one in the can. Larry Pratt, thank you, sir. Sam and Kurt for hour two in seconds. Get involved, ladies and gentlemen. We need your participation and financial support to grow our presence in the media. We are taking center stage. They know it. They're scrambling. They're in a panic. We're going to keep up the pressure with your help. We declare, LibertyRoundtable.com, this nation shall endure.